This is live coverage of the 2021 Steelers minicamp, live from Heinz Field on your 24/7 home for the Steelers, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's a lovely Friday. It's a Wednesday here. We just wrapped up the second day of Steelers practice here at Heinz Field. One of the coaches who spoke this morning was Terrell Edmonds, the Steelers secondary. Terrell Austin. Too many Terrells.
Yep.
Terrell, yeah.
One's Terrell, a strong safety.
Terrell Austin, he, of course, coaches the secondary here, and his position is one that it has – they lost two guys in the offseason.
Yeah, right. People don't talk about that one a lot. Everyone's always focused on the offensive changes.
But yeah. So he was asked about that today. Let's hear what Terrell Austin had to say.
Everybody, we have Terrell here. Just a reminder, use the raise your hand function, and we will call on you. We'll start with Dale Lally.
Hey, Terrell, just wondering, you have a lot of moving parts in your secondary right now, including one that are you settled in on Cam Sutton as your starting slot corner, or can somebody else take that, say an Antoine Brooks or Mallette or one of these other guys, and keep Cam on the outside? How do you kind of measuring all that?
Right now, the way I'm looking at it is I know Cam can play inside. And so right now he is our working outside, and we're letting these other guys kind of work inside to see what we have. And I think that's the proper way to do it, to make sure we evaluate them, give them many opportunities to learn and see where they can go inside. And so that's how I'm looking at it currently. And if something, if we don't feel real comfortable with what we have, then we would, you know, obviously address changes at that time. But I know for a fact that Cam would not need a lot of reps if he had to move inside and help us. But that's where we are with that.
Jerry Dulac.
Terrell, you somewhat answered my question to a degree. Are you comfortable with the depth that you have at corner, and do you feel you need to go out maybe and get some veteran depth, or was that to be determined?
Oh, I think that's always, you know, determined by Mike and Kevin. I like our young guys. You know, I know I like James Pierre. I like Jay Lane. I think, you know, we have some young guys that are here as, you know, a couple free agent guys we brought in, and I'd like to see them compete and go. I think ability-wise that James and Jay Lane, I know for sure, have ability to play in this level. In this league and be quality players. It just depends on how fast and how far they progress here in the next couple of, basically the next 4 or 5 weeks. You know, you have this offseason and we get back to camp. But I'm comfortable there, but I'm also aware that if we have a way to better our team and it happens to be an outside guy and it helps better our team, then I'm more than happy to have him as well.
Jim Colony.
Yeah, Terrell, obviously there's no hitting here, but in terms of getting a beat on your defensive back, specifically corners, as to whether or not they can cover, is that something you can actually get a pretty good idea of in a mini camp?
Yes, I think you can. I think the coverage aspect, and we've been, you know, going through OTAs, we've been able to get some 7-on-7 stuff. So you have an idea about their movement skills, about their ability to play the ball in the air, about their understanding of coverage and route recognition. So you can get all of those things without the tackling right now. And then as we move into camp, and once you get the full team stuff.
Nope, we are back.
Oh, we're back. We're having some kind of issue.
Yeah, that happened yesterday, too.
I don't know what the deal is with that stuff. But
I was into that, too, and all of a sudden, boom, he was gone.
Yeah. But he had a lot of good stuff to say. As you heard, I asked him about, you know, the changing moving parts there in the secondary.
Mm-hmm. People asked him, too, about, you know, are you guys thinking about a veteran? Are you excited about the young guys? And, yeah, I mean, basically the answers you would expect. It's not like, but we don't like any of these guys. We're on the market for a guy, you know.
Well, and what he talked about there was, okay, so Cam Sutton has been working outside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Throughout the whole process here thus far. That we're not giving away any secrets here.
No.
Terrell Austin just said it.
He just said it, right.
The reason for that makes a ton of sense. you know he can move inside. You know he can play inside. Yeah. That's what he's done the last 4 years.
I think the way that Coach Austin just mentioned it was he doesn't need many reps to move inside.
No, he can.
We know he can do that. Yeah. That's a set thing.
So, but you got to find out who your backup is there.
Mm-hmm.
Or who the guy is. Maybe somebody emerges like Mike Hilton did 4 years ago.
That's what they're looking for.
That's what they're looking for.
The next Mike Hilton, right?
And then you're able to keep Cam Sutton on the outside.
Right.
And that makes everybody better. The fallback plan, however, is, okay,
we know he can do it.
You got to bump Sutton inside. He's your best mm-hmm. slot corner option. Okay.
If Justin Lane's too good to keep off the field.
Yeah, or Justin Lane and James Pierre. Okay, you know what we got two young guys here that we like as well, but they're trying to find that another slot guy.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes perfect sense. And I don't know how important it is to their defense, and they would never come out and tell us, but they seem very comfortable with a left corner, a right corner, and a slot corner.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want our right corner going to the slot. You know, we want these guys to be very comfortable playing mostly outside the numbers on their side, like a left tackle and a right tackle. Get used to using that sideline as a boundary, as a helper. You know, you know who you're playing against. You're not lining up against slot receivers or big tight ends as much and whatnot. One thing I didn't know, just this last week or so, I've been really digging into personnel groupings around the league. You know, who's using nickel the most, dime the most, et cetera, et cetera. The Steelers and Ravens, and the Ravens aren't surprising, not that they use dime so much, but the Steelers had four corners on the field, I think tied with Baltimore for most in the league. You know, four guys at once.
Yeah.
I think that has to change. You know, I mean, I think that's just because we like Hilton, we like Sutton, we have our two outside guys. But some teams don't do that ever, you know, so they clearly show a willingness and a propensity last year to have four corners on the field at the same amount of time, or at the same time, more than any team in the league. So if they're going to do that, maybe Lane and Hayden are your outside guys, and Sutton and a name to be named later is that, or maybe they want to play less of that, and they just did it because that's the, you know, they
that was their
the
best
red.
Grouping, yeah.
Yeah, they painted their barn red, you know, because they had red paint. So I think that's interesting. I mean, the way it lines up right now, if they put six corners on the field, there's a better player on the sideline than it's on the field. You know, I mean, unless somebody emerges out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Well, and you know, the league has trended towards these hybrid players.
Right, right.
You know, you want the.
It's hard to say what some of these guys are.
Yeah,
exactly.
You got a safety who's a corner. I mean, Hilton was a safety.
Right. People forget that, right? Yeah. He came to the league as a safety.
You know.
And, you know, I've been asked, you know, how about some of these guys? Can they run well enough for slot corner? I'm like, Mike Hilton wasn't fast.
No.
He's not a 4-4 guy.
Mike Hilton wasn't a great coverage guy.
No.
What Mike Hilton had was good ball skills.
Toughness.
And just an innate ability to blitz.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think they probably value that out of their slot guys more than maybe some teams do. Or, again, it's maybe just that's their best option. They couldn't keep him off the field, so have him do what he does well, you know, as opposed to you're not going to drop him. You're not going to have him play man coverage against Wes Welker and Edelman time and time again with no help whatsoever. And slot guys do get a lot of help. Almost always going to be somebody
behind
you.
They're
in the middle of the field. Bush is closely to your side, and you can use those guys like boundary corners, use the sidelines. So it'll be interesting how that secondary shapes out. But, you know, just talking about personnel groupings, the Steelers, well, the Patriots were way higher than everybody else in this category with seven defensive backs on the field. The Steelers were second or third in the league in percentage of actually using seven defensive backs on the field. And I've dug into that more because I'm closer to this team than the other 31. I think some of that is where I got these numbers from might have counted Marcus Allen as a DB, which he's probably more a linebacker because he's played
not a
about
DB
200.
Anymore. He doesn't even work out with the DBs anymore.
No.
He's with the linebackers.
But he might be on, you know, listed as a strong safety on some depth chart around the league, you know. And he played like 200 snaps last year. So.
Well, it's weird because you see him out there and he's wearing a 27.
Right, right. I mean, so I can see anyone thinking he's a strong safety.
Just on the flyby, you go, oh, they got a safety on the field.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe if you go to our lad's depth chart, he's a safety. I don't know. But they do play a lot of small, fast personnel, more than people realize, I think. So a lot of these DBs are going to play no matter what. I mean, as is the case with every team, but this team more than others, as if we're based off last year's numbers.
One interesting guy that Austin talked about there was Antoine Brooks.
Yeah.
And
his name keeps coming up these last
few days. We talked about him with Bob a little bit. He was a sixth-round pick last year. If you look at the combine numbers, 4.64, 40 at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he did that at 5'11", 220 pounds.
I wonder what he weighs now.
He looks lighter.
And that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's an in-the-box Jamal Adams safety.
Right.
You know, I don't think he needs to be 210-plus.
Yeah. His 20-yard split was 2.7. His 10-yard split was 1.6. But he did 18 reps on the bench.
Yeah, I remember that.
He's
a pretty well-put-together guy.
He played a lot of slot at Maryland.
Yeah.
Had some, you know, showed some ability to blitz. He had I think, 3.5 sacks.
I was thinking about
Maryland.
Him as a blitzer and a run stopper from
four
that
four interceptions.
Yep.
And we've seen him, and again, we're not giving anything away here because Terrell Austin talked about it. We've seen him a lot in the slot.
Yeah.
During this offseason. We saw him there a little bit last year when they played Cincinnati. He lined up in the slot. He gives you that size. And Austin, I thought this was really interesting. Later in that conversation, said your nickel corner has to be part cornerback, part linebacker.
They do. It's a really physical position.
Yeah.
You know, no
Joe Hayden, when we
that.
Talked to Joe Hayden earlier today, and he was asked, you know, did you ever play in the slot? He goes, a little bit during my rookie, you know, early in my career, he says, I wouldn't want to play it anymore.
It beats you up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're playing Tennessee, you're tackling Derrick Henry a lot as a slot corner, or a guard's pulling around that you got to take
Somebody bigger than you is hitting you a lot.
A lot. And even just piles. You know, you're in a lot of piles. You're not just the last guy up to the pile. I mean, you're getting pushed around a lot. You know, I always talk about those outside corners. Okay, someone completes an out route on you. You push them out of bounds.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? You give them a little nudge and move them out of bounds.
Or the running back comes around the corner on you, and you just kind of you go low on him and get him on the ground.
Yeah, or you know you just keep outside contained to push him into a linebacker.
Contained to get him out of bounds.
Right.
Let the back run out of bounds.
And the same is true for slot receivers. I mean, the Welkers and Edelman of the world, they get tackled by 320-pounders, and you know the Bud Dupree's of the world smashing them. I mean, that's a very physical position. And with all respect to Mike Hilton, who obviously made it work and just got paid very nicely by the Bengals and is a good signing by them, you don't want someone that small there. You know what I mean? I would much rather have someone with Brooks's dimensions who probably runs just as well.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe better if they're just having a flat-out race.
Yeah, I mean, now
they don't run 40 yards in a straight line ever either.
No,
I mean,
it's all about change of direction, ability to mirror.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, ability to get guys on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, you want your nickel to be a sure tackler because he's going to have to.
And especially with this defense, that is a heavy blitz position, especially on early downs when people aren't expecting it. So that would make some sense. I mean, that may even be an upgrade.
But yeah.
Again, no respect to disrespect to Hilton, but a bigger body there might help you against the Browns and the Ravens.
Well, and there were times in the past where the Steelers would. They would use Hilton and Sutton interchangeably,
they're both playing
slot cornerback, but they're doing different things there. You're playing a team, okay? This guy's a bigger receiving threat.
Sutton's a better cover guy.
Yeah, he's the better coverage guy.
Right,
that's
and he
why
also
he
happens
can bump
to be bigger.
Outside. You would never have bumped Mike Hilton
never.
Outside.
Never, he would have got killed on an island outside.
Yeah.
Right, without question. Even with help outside, I mean, he can only do one spot for you. So, I mean, that's where it comes down to is probably a much easier decision than many of us let on. Should we invest in Hilton or Sutton? Well, Sutton
to me, it was never a question.
Yeah, we often brought
and I
that
like
up,
Mike Hilton, a great guy. Sure. You know, loved covering him over the last 4 years.
It's a great story. I mean,
yeah.
He's a self-made guy. He's easy to root for. He was a really good Steeler, but Sutton's way more valuable.
Absolutely. Yeah,
right.
It's not even a discussion. But
boy, they've been clear that they think Sutton is the starting outside corner all day long.
Yeah.
I mean, the
That's
Nelson
why they
move,
cut
the Hilton
Steven
move.
Nelson.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're telling you exactly what they think of him, and it's pretty high praise.
Yeah. So, you know, they're looking at different guys. Millett's been in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a safety by trade, really.
Yeah. And those lines are blurrier.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some Malcolm Jenkins-type guys that were safeties, but they come into the box a lot. And, you know, don't look into it too much that, boy, they got a safety play in the corner. They're going to be slow. They're going to get picked on. But, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Hilton or if it's Brooks or, frankly, if it's Sutton. teams are exploiting that now. You'll see Tyreek Hill move to the slot and run go routes. You know, like you better make a better beware.
That's why you gotta have your free safety is so important.
Mm-hmm. But they're gonna try to manipulate him with Kelce to try to get him bite on another route.
I think you're gonna see the Steelers do some of that this year. They're talking about moving guys around, and you know, we spoke to Ike Hilliard today, and I said, how important is it for you guys this year that you know you're able to get Claypool into the slot?
Yeah, right.
That sounds like a
priority a little bit.
You know, if you get Mike Hilton lined up on Chase Claypool, I'm sorry, that's a win for the offense.
You're going there with the football. Yeah, right. And they might see that twice a year going forward.
Right.
You know, and Juju's very good out of the slot. He's best out of the slot. He has come out and said, I want to play outside more, which would be very good for his career and his bank account and all those things. But he is capable. It's not like he can only play the slot.
Right. No, he's not a Wes Welker who had to play the slot.
I mean, he's played a lot of snaps with AB when they're the only two receivers on the field.
He's a 5'9", 180-pound receiver, typically has to play in the slot.
Right.
The thing that's changed now over the last few years is that the teams are putting those bigger guys in the slot. You're seeing Julio Jones in the slot. You're seeing
– even an A.J. Green when he was – before he was done, they were lining him up in the slot, and he's not physical.
And they're doing it for a reason, to get those matchups.
Yeah, if you can get him on the Hiltons of the world.
Well, this team's got two big cornerbacks, but their slot's 5'9". Mm-hmm. Okay, we want to get this guy in the slot so we can get that height matchup.
I mean, so you would hope, not that Hilton couldn't do it, that a Brooks or somebody with those dimensions could bang those guys around a little bit more, you know, on these routes that are supposed to be quick-hitting routes. Yeah. If you can hold them up at the line of scrimmage for a beat longer, get your hands on them in the first couple yards, maybe throw off the timing patterns on those, you know, two-way go routes and things like that. So it'll be interesting. But I do think little players at any position are hard to coach around.
Size matters.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can have the smaller outside-the-number receiver that can fly. Okay, you can live with those guys because they're so threatening with their speed. But at other positions, if you're little, I mean, you're going to get picked on.
Yeah.
It's a big man's game still.
Until you show that you can hold up.
Special traits.
Yeah. But we're going to take another break here. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive. You can hear us year-round on Steelers Nation Radio, as you are, some of you are today. But today we're also here on ESPN 970, bringing you the ongoing live coverage here from Steelers minicamp at Heinz Field. The Steelers just wrapped up day two a little bit ago. Lots of good stuff going on here. They'll finish up tomorrow here at Heinz Field and then be off until training camp.
Yeah.
But former partner Matt Williamson, I'm Dale Lally. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more right after this.
This is live coverage of the 2021 Steelers minicamp, live from Heinz Field on your 24/7 home for the Steelers, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
We are back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We're live at Steelers training camp, mini camp here at Heinz Field.
That feel though.
We're just talking here about slot cornerback positions or slot, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, right.
Slot
defender.
Nickelback.
Right.
How about that? Nickelback.
And it's funny because defense is so hard to pigeonhole now. What's a 3-4 versus a 4-3? You know, we were talking about
edge versus defensive end.
Right. We were talking about Marcus Allen. Some people might look at him as a safety, but he's really a linebacker. Doesn't matter what number's on his back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of these nickels are big safeties. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of ambiguous right now.
It is. And Doug Farrar on Touchdown Wire just put out his rankings today of the NFL's top 11 slot defenders.
Okay.
That's a way to put it.
That's a nice way to put it. That's a good definition there.
Yeah.
Because I know some of these names.
But he kind of cheated a little bit here.
That's what you mentioned that off the air, because I think there's a difference between slot defenders and nickel corners.
Yes.
Because some of these guys, when you're in, quote, base with two corners on the field, they're out there every snap.
Right.
You know, they're not a Hilton
and
type.
See, this is the thing. Like, okay, so number 11 on here is Marlon Humphrey. We see him a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Marlon Humphrey's the best cornerback on the Ravens roster.
Yes.
But when they go to three cornerbacks on the field, he slides into the slot, and they bring somebody else on the field. So what the Steelers could be asking of Cam Sutton this year is not outside the norm.
No, that's a good point. I mean, Sutton could do Humphrey things.
Yeah.
I mean, Humphrey will follow number one receivers to the slot or out at times. Part of it, though, is Young got hurt. He's been their
Tavon
slot
Young
corner.
Is their guy. Right, they gave him money, and then he's gotten banged up the last 2 years because – He's undersized.
He's undersized too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to count on those guys. But, like, Peters, Jimmy Smith, Humphrey, they almost have one too many outside guys.
Yeah.
So somebody had to move in.
And it's Humphrey.
And it's Humphrey, to his credit. But that's a tough – I mean, he's better outside.
And the thing is, when I think of nickel cornerbacks or slot guys, I think of the guys who come onto the field in that position.
In nickel.
Like right. putting – he's got Humphrey on here. He's got –
I mean, while you're looking,
he's got Darnell Savage on here. He's got who's a starting safety.
I think like the Honey Badgers on that list.
He's got Xavien Howard on here, who's a starting cornerback. Right. I mean, these are guys who have other positions that they play. They're not the true slot cornerback.
They're not the true slots. I mean, even picture it this way: if it's goal line and you have a 4-4 out there, you know, I mean, you got a big package out there. You still have Marlon Humphrey on the number one receiver.
He's got Jalen Ramsey at number five.
And he plays a lot of nickel now, where he didn't in Jacksonville. Yeah. He plays all over. He plays like the star position, they call it. But I guess he's not lying to us, because his headline is slot defender.
Defenders,
you know what I mean? So we're splitting hairs a little bit. I mean, if you just look at, quote, nickel corners, like a Hilton or Moore for Indianapolis is probably one of the better ones. There's actually one that's pretty good on the market now, Poole from the Jets, and I don't know why he's still out there.
He was hurt last year.
I think that was an injury situation. But some of those guys that aren't household names, they're not first-round picks that were 6'2 and 195 that run a 4.38. You know what I mean?
Yeah. As I mentioned, he's got Humphrey 11, Darnell Savage number 10. Savage is a strong safety.
Right. If I'm doing a safety list, Savage would be pretty high on it.
And Farrar just put out his safety list.
Yeah, they did.
He has him. He has Darnell Savage ranked number 3 overall among safeties.
Among safeties.
One spot ahead of Minkah Fitzpatrick at 4.
Okay. I like Savage a lot. Yeah. I prefer Minkah, but I think Savage is a great
young
player.
They're two different kind of players.
They are. They are. And we bring up Savage a lot because we always think there's a pretty good chance he might have been a Steeler.
He might have been a Steeler had the Steelers not moved up for Devin Bush.
He may have been the 20th pick in the draft of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Number 9, Sean Murphy Bunting.
Okay. They're another team. I mean, they won the Super Bowl, and they invest a lot in their secondary. Not many first-round picks, but a lot of early picks in that secondary. But none of them are true slot corners. Yeah. I mean, even Murphy Bunting is more of an outside guy who, you know, bumped
jumps
in.
Inside. Because,
right.
Yeah. 8 is Xavien Howard.
He's just like Humphrey. I mean, he's the number one corner.
A true follow-you cornerback who goes into the slot.
Who can do it.
7, Teron Johnson with the Bills.
Real quick, though, to Humphrey and Howard's credit, it used to be that you could get away from a Revis or whoever by
bringing the guy to the
slot. You know,
now you can still do it to some degree by, you know, stacking guys and things of that nature to get them away from that guy.
Because we bring this up a lot, too. If you're going to Revis or Deion somebody and truly play one-on-one and that guy lines up in the slot – those other 10 defenders have a tough time moving around.
Yeah. Now, slot guy has to go outside.
Right. And then you got Hilton outside, and we just talked about that last time, and that's not what you want, you know?
So, Teron Johnson, number 7 with the Bills. 6, Troy Hill, who just signed with the Browns.
Where my grandparents are from, Troy Hill.
5, Jalen Ramsey, as I mentioned.
He does everything. Yeah. But, I mean, if I had to take one defensive back in the whole league, I'd probably take Ramsey. But I guess he does defend the slot.
Here's the thing. From the slot last season, Ramsey allowed 6 catches on 12 targets. I'm sorry, man.
I mean, 12 targets.
12 targets is not enough to you're number 4.
I'd like to know how many snaps he played in the slot. Yeah. But maybe they didn't throw his way so much because he was so great. But 12 targets. I mean, he didn't miss any games.
Yeah. You could say – put it this way. If you look at the stats, Minkah Fitzpatrick played 100 snaps in the slot last year for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Because sometimes your safeties
walk up
and
once
play.
In a while.
Yeah.
Right. And do you think that goes up?
But there's potential for it.
I mean, he can do it.
He can do it.
Who did you mention last segment about the slot corner that, Hayden? You said, I've done it, but it beats you up.
Like, yeah, right.
I mean, I know Minka's a little bit more physical, more safety than corner. But I would think he doesn't want to do it a ton. I mean, he's very comfortable in deep middle, and those guys are harder to find.
Mike Hilton, number 4 on this list.
Interesting.
Here's the
stats. He's had a good career.
There's no doubt. Here's the stats on him, though. 39 targets. And remember, he missed some time.
Yeah.
26 catches.
Wow.
306 yards, 206 yards after the catch.
Okay.
2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Now, the interceptions are great.
I'd say 3 is a nice number.
Yeah.
Doing right.
There's some variance.
But 26 to 39 for 306 yards is not great.
Yeah. And at this position more than others, I'm sitting here thinking,
you're going to give up a higher completion percentage in
right.
the slot.
It's an easier throw. Goes, it's a quick throw. If it's third and eight and I give up a catch for 6 yards,
I tremendous. Did my job. Yeah.
Right, I did my job. So I wonder if there's like a success rate there.
That would be good to know.
That would be good to know. I know Football Outsiders does that with their corners.
Three is Kenny Moore, who you referenced.
Yeah, he's a really good player for the Colts. But he's, just true slot third corners.
Right.
I think
right.
he's probably the best in the league.
Two is Bryce Callahan with the Broncos.
Mm, he had a really good year, too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what's crazy is they signed a corner, Fuller, drafted a corner. They have four high quality corners that I wonder if one of them ends up in Houston or Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers or Watson or something like that.
Number one is Tyrann Mathieu.
Which is cheating a little.
Yeah, he had 238 coverage snaps in the slot last year.
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty high number.
Yeah, he allowed 22 catches on 33 targets for 295 yards, one touchdown with three interceptions.
Okay.
Okay, so this is
–
that's the number one guy in the league, according to Doug Farrar in his rankings here.
Yeah.
So to say that the Steelers can't find somebody who gives up a my UPJ math at work here, a 66.7 completion percentage out of the slot.
Yeah. And hopefully no big plays, but you make a few, like Hilton
right,
at
make
three.
Some plays, yeah.
And the sacks over the years or strips and things like that,
yeah.
too. Yeah, I mean – I wonder what the league and Steeler thoughts are on slots in general. You know, like, you and I liked the kid out of Washington this year that went to Tennessee in the third round.
Oh, I forget. It's already been.
He didn't run great, but.
Yeah, it's already been pushed out of my head.
Yeah, but he was, we thought he'd be a second. He went in the third. I thought he was the best true slot corner in this draft, but he fell and didn't run great. But who cares if he runs great?
Right.
I'm not sure is the league behind the times on valuing slots? Or do they realize you don't have to be a special player there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to cut corners at some spot.
Well, again, we'll go back to the Terrell Austin interview, and he said, you know, you're looking.
And are they not going to last long in the league?
You're looking for guys with traits.
Yeah.
And his trait may be, again, great blitzer, or his trait may be he's a fantastic tackler, or his trait may be he's a great coverage guy.
No one had more defined traits than Hilton.
Right.
One of them being small. I mean, one of them bad.
Yeah, right. One of them's bad. Do you use your traits?
Mm-hmm.
Do you overcome the bad ones, the bad traits? So it's all about, using the player to his best ability.
Yeah. And back to my big picture thinking of how much are we going to value slot corner? Would we ever use a second-round pick on a slot corner? Like, if slot corner is a disaster this year, would the
Steelers
do that?
See, that was the thing with, like, when the Titans drafted Adoree Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, he's a 5'9" cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you automatically,
he's not physical enough to be the slot.
But he's not physical. So you automatically see that and you go, well, he's slot cornerback sized, but is he physical enough to play? Probably
but
not.
But he's a finesse player.
Same thing when the Browns take Denzel Ward fourth mm-hmm. overall.
Right.
Like, okay, he's a 5'.
Darn good.
He's a 5'9" cornerback. He has to be so much better than a 6'1" cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's
yeah.
usually who you see taken in the top 10 like
mm-hmm.
that.
And Ward has exceeded. Adoree Jackson got cut.
Right.
got paid again by the Giants. But, you know, I think if we had a conversation of who do you think could lead the Steelers in slot snaps in 2021, we could probably put 5 or 6 names on that list right now.
Well, here's the thing, too, about this
list. They're searching
list.
For that.
I'm looking at this list. Okay, this is, again, Doug mm-hmm. Farrar's top 11 slot cornerbacks. Here are his honorable mentions. Jordan Whitehead from Tampa Bay, a safety.
Yeah, right.
They also had the other
Bunting. Yeah, he was on
Murphy
the list.
Murphy Bunting was on this list as well. Two different slot guys.
Yeah, and two different skill sets.
Kawan Williams from San Francisco is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Mills, now with the Patriots.
Who's been a safety in the corner, and he's been all the above, too.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson with the Saints,
he's
a safety.
Much more of a safety, right.
Justin Burris with Carolina.
Okay.
Juan Thornhill with the Chiefs.
Very much
so
a
both
safety.
Of their safeties.
Yeah, both really. Their safeties. And I'd have to study it, but I assume that they can be somewhat interchangeable.
Right.
That, you know, if the slot guy goes in motion, Thornhill might walk down and, rotate and do that type of thing.
And then the final one is Jonathan Jones with the Patriots.
Okay. That makes sense, too.
But, as I mentioned before, Minka played 100 snaps in the slot last year.
Mm-hmm.
That
Could
was
he have qualified?
That,
Right.
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, Jalen like, Ramsey started not? Like 12 times.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it was.
Why not? Yeah. You know, so I think everybody gets caught up in, well, it has to be this one guy.
I think that's very untrue.
Yeah.
I think this list in our conversation and the Steelers' way of doing things, even over the last couple of years, they've rotated slots.
Yeah.
And they're very different players. One's an outside guy. One's truly a slot. They're working some safeties there now. I mean, I should know this better, but I mentioned there's five or six names right now, including some undrafted guys and some, you know, not real well-known free agents they've signed or added to the team, that they're kind of going to throw five or six of them in the mix and see which one or two or three sticks, you know?
One of the other things, just one final thing on this subject before we move on and take a break here. One of the other things that Austin said was that he's been with some teams that had they changed who was playing in the slot depending on what they what they wanted out of that position.
Okay.
Maybe even based on down and distance.
Yeah. And the Steelers have done that.
Yeah. So that works too.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of different ways to attack this as opposed to just having one guy. Is it 3rd and 10? Okay, we want our coverage guy out there. If it's 3rd and 4, okay, maybe we want a guy who's – they may run the ball here.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about the division. I mean, I talked about the personnel groupings I've been digging into. Nobody was in 11 personnel, 3 receivers, more than the Bengals.
Right.
And they're going to throw like crazy, and they just added a receiver. Yeah. You know, they didn't add a tight end, you know. And that's a heck of a lot different than what you're going to get from the Browns and especially the Ravens.
The Ravens, yeah.
You know, so maybe you want Brooks in the corner or in the slot against – Baltimore and Cleveland, but not against Boyd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, last year when Brooks did play, it was against Cincinnati.
Right.
You know, so I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But you want a lot of them to pick from. And I guess back to my point, too, is the league investing in them. This is what we said last segment. It's almost like running backs. Like, are you going to get 8 years out of a slot corner?
Probably not.
I mean,
so,
yeah.
And I'll be interested to see how the Bengals use Mike Hilton this year.
Worry me a little for the Bengal fan.
Yeah, if they brought him in to be a true slot cornerback and they say, hey, you're just a coverage guy.
Right.
That's not using his talents to the best of his ability.
Line up and play man coverage.
Are they going to blitz
Juju
him as much
Jarvis
as the Steelers
Slater.
Do?
Right.
Probably not. I mean, nobody.
Probably
the
not.
Steelers are one of the highest blitz teams in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I like Hilton and I wish him the best, but if you're playing against the Bengals and you're Jarvis Landry or Juju in this division, and boy, I'm getting man coverage against Hilton time and time again. I think I'm want that guy in my fantasy lineup.
Yeah. One last thing. I mean, you can remember back about 10 years ago when Gronk was at the top of his powers.
Yeah.
The one player the Steelers had that had a really good game against him was Cortez Allen. As a rookie,
they
put him out there in the slot against Gronk.
Yeah.
And he broke up a couple passes. You know, Gronk didn't destroy the Steelers in that game
as
he was wont to do. You know, you can you kind of mix and match it depending on who are they putting in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they going to use there?
Who are they going to use there? And that's one of the best chess games going, you know, week to week and play to play in the league right now. How they're all these formations and how they're using people. And just look at the Steelers' offense. They have a lot of options to attack teams all over now. I mean, including the Freiermuth pickup and Najee. I mean, you could put out there's probably 8 or 9 skill guys you can put out there that are mismatch problems.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Depending how you want to use them.
And that's done for a reason.
Yeah, without question.
Yeah. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive, a special edition here on ESPN 970. And Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be back to finish up the show right after this.
This is live coverage of the 2021 Steelers Minicamp, live from Heinz Field on your 24/7 home for the Steelers. SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
We are back here live from Steelers Minicamp. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah, it's been quick hitting, fun show. We're going to wrap it up here. We're kind of looking at an empty stadium and quite the day here. I mean, the weather, the atmosphere, it's been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun, and unfortunately it is going to come to an end here at some point. Bill Barnwell put out a piece today.
Oh, did he?
We do talk about Bill's stuff every once in a while.
Sure.
And he's predicting which NFL players could break 8 major records in 2021.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Here's the thing about the NFL. you know, baseball's different when it comes to the records.
Yeah. I mean, there's 17 games. How did that
factor
in? You got
17 games this year. So are these going to be the record records? You know, yeah.
I mean, it used to be a 12-game season.
Records are going to go down this year,
I would think. Passing records for the season and, you know, right.
We're going to see that change a little bit. So the current passing record for yards in a season is 5,477 by Peyton Manning.
Say that Manning? Yeah.
In 2013. The favorite, according to Bill, is Patrick Mahomes.
I think he's going to have a gigantic year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was injured a little last year.
Are we going to see a 6,000-yard passing season at some point in
the next,
future?
Like, 5 years or so? Yeah. Maybe, especially if you don't call holding. You know what I mean? It sure helps. I mean, the league is helping that way, and it sure seems like there's not the number of great receivers entering the league is not slowing down.
It is not.
And the quarterbacks come in pretty ready, too, and they're protected. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I bet somebody will get there in the next 5 years.
His guy just behind that is Dak Prescott. If you remember, Dak Prescott
had thrown a lot of yards.
He had 1,690 passing yards in the first four games.
They weren't winning, but it wasn't Dak's fault.
No quarterback in league history had ever had 1,600 in the first four games before.
Wow.
He was a 1,690 through four games.
I think people do forget that.
Yeah.
And they got weapons. I mean, that offense is loaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it.
His long shot is Tom Brady. I'm sorry. That is a long shot.
I think that's a real long shot.
I don't think Brady gets anywhere near that number this year.
I don't either. I actually think he's going to decline a little.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said that before and bitten my tongue, but I'd be shocked if he plays at a high level.
Here's one. Touchdowns. The current record, 31. Do you remember by who?
We're not talking about pass. I mean,
this is touchdowns, period, not by non-quarterback, not touchdown passes.
Tomlinson?
LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006. Maybe the greatest fantasy season
exactly.
of all time.
Right.
31 touchdowns. So you'd have to average almost two a game.
Yeah.
To get there.
I know Derrick Henry's been leading the league, but he's not going to get there.
Wouldn't think.
Not with catching the ball.
The favorite, Christian McCaffrey.
That's a good one. I think he had like 21 two seasons ago, which was also a historic fantasy season. 31, though, even with 17 games, I don't know that that's broken in the next 5 years. You got to stay healthy.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I think Tomlinson had like a 5-touchdown game that year. And even in like week 16 or 17 back then, I think they were on the one and it didn't matter. They gave him a couple, you know, helpers.
Just behind him, Dalvin Cook.
Good one.
Catches the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think Dalvin Cook's going to play 17 games?
Probably not.
Probably not, right.
Probably not. His history shows us that, no, that's not going to be the case.
Right.
His long shot is Joe Mixon.
Not a bad long shot.
Yeah.
I think he'll get a lot of touches.
I just don't see that being.
I don't know any of them approaches 31.
31's a big number.
I mean, I think the leader might be 20.
Yeah. Rushing yards.
Najee Harris is going to have a few, by the way.
2,105. This is one of the older records on this book.
Yeah.
1984, Eric Dickerson.
Yeah. Teams don't rush the ball as often as Dickerson used to, or O.J., or some of those guys have had those 2,000-yard seasons people have had. Henry's been sort of close, but not that. I mean, he's led the league 2 years in a row, but he's not near. I mean, he wasn't at 2,000. I don't think anybody approaches it this year, even with an extra game.
Yeah, Henry's number one. Just behind him, Dalvin Cook.
Okay.
And then long shot, I'm not seeing this long shot at all. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
No. I don't think he'll get close to enough carries.
No chance.
No chance.
He didn't come close to 1,000 yards rushing last year.
He'd have to break like 580 yarders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not gonna fast.
It's Andy Reid.
Right. No, I think
they may run the ball five times in the first half of games.
I could come with 20 backs. I'd pick over him.
Absolutely, that's
like if Bill's Kareem Hunt gets hurt in preseason, Chubb has a chance.
Right,
you know what I mean.
Receiving yards.
Okay,
Calvin Johnson, 2012, 1964.
Ooh,
do we see our first 2,000-yard receiver this year?
I don't think so.
That's a big number.
It's a big number.
Yeah. Antonio Brown was kind of on track for that the 1 year, and he got hurt against the Patriots here. He was on pace to maybe break that record, and he was having just a phenomenal year.
Yeah, he was amazing.
That was a 2016, I believe.
I mean, to give you an idea, Julio Jones, I just read an article about him, so I know this off the top of my head, averages 95.5 yards per game, which is way more than anybody else in the league. Calvin Johnson's second. He's like 15 yards behind per game. Yeah. And that's not enough.
Right.
that still gets you to 1,600.
His favorite for that is Stephon Diggs.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess he's as good as any.
I'm not giving him the just behind he has Michael Thomas. There's no way.
No way.
There's no chance.
I mean, I don't think Adams. I don't think Hopkins.
Michael Thomas, to get to 20 over 1,964 yards, Michael Thomas would have to catch 170 passes.
Right. You have to have a couple bombs.
Yeah, and they're just not going to do that. The long shot's right. Calvin Ridley. I'll buy that one.
I would say Ridley's a name I was about to mention, actually.
Yeah, I'll buy that one.
I would – A.J. Brown without Julio – Maybe. You know what I mean? A million targets plus, you know, a couple long ones. I don't see anybody getting close.
No, I don't either.
You're going to be losing a lot, too. I think Calvin Johnson's probably losing a lot.
Extra points.
Oh, geez.
The record is 75 by Matt Prater in 2013.
Is that before two-point conversions?
Yes.
Okay.
75 extra points is a lot.
Yeah.
The favorite, of course, is Harrison Butker.
I would say, how about Butker? Yeah.
Just behind him, Justin Tucker. I don't know if the Ravens are going to score 75 touchdowns this season.
75?
75 is a huge number.
Huge number without going to two on any of them.
On any of them.
Right. I don't think that gets touched.
Yeah.
Although scoring's up, but I don't think
that's not the 75 touchdowns. I mean, that's
remarkable.
Yeah. And the long shot is Matt Gay from the Rams.
That's good offense.
Yeah.
You better not miss many either.
Here's a bad one. Fumbles. The current record is 23 by Kerry Collins in 2001 and Dante Culpepper in 2002.
Yeah, so that's more of a quarterback stat than a running back. I mean, you fumble 23 times a running back.
The favorite is Daniel Jones.
I'd say Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Bad in the pocket.
Yeah, he had 18 in 2019 and 11 last season. So he's getting better.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz right behind it. If Carson Wentz breaks that record, the Indianapolis Colts are shot.
They won't be a 500 team.
They won't be a 500 team.
Right, and they'll be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
Interesting.
Those are big numbers.
Lots of things to think about here as we get closer to the start of the NFL season, but that's going to do it for our show today. So
that's a blast.
For Matt Williamson here on site with me here at Heinz Field, we want to thank Bob Labriola for joining us here as
nice
well.
Guest,
and we want to thank Jacob Breck back in studio for keeping us on the air and you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970.